This is...
What a week.
What a week. You can't make this shit up.
So, in our part of the world, when someone says a bra helped them get work, they're usually referring to a friend who assisted. When our next guest says that, she means it literally. Please give a wow welcome to Wazi M. Kunene. Best newcomer at the Comics Choice Awards.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
Oh man, it means that you are the best of the new gang.
And how do you even get there? Like, how do I get to be best newcomer?
Oh man, a lot of stage time, a lot of proactive work,
yeah.
A lot of getting better at what you do, a lot of going around, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of getting into the industry and being noticed by other comics.
But we're going to rewind just a little bit, and then we'll come back to how your bra helped you get a job and come back to where we are right now. Take us back to Maritzburg.
Ooh.
Tell us about life in Maritzburg. Tell us about the girl that was you.
You know what? I really was hoping that I'd get to interviews and say really wonderful things about Peter Maritzburg. But when I won my award,
yeah.
I made a statement and I said to Peter Maritzburg, I'm giving you guys 24 hours to put together billboards, my surprise billboards, or else. And they didn't say anything. So, like, I'm up for grabs. Anything he wants me, like, I'm up for grabs.
Oh, so you're available.
I'm available.
You're on the market.
I'm on the market.
How good is your Setswana?
I can learn. I'm good to go. Right now, Grahamstown, you can take me. Joburg can take me. Any place can take me.
You often say you're not raised in Maritzburg. You're traumatized in Peter Maritzburg.
Yeah, I was.
How?
It all began when I was born.
Yeah.
Without my consent, you know?
Yes. So we were often never asked if we want to even...
We're all just, now I'm here, guys. What's happening? Now I'm just here.
That is where we enter crying.
Yeah.
You don't understand that we enter
it's
this world
crying. It's traumatizing being born.
Like, why am I here?
Why? Like, guys, I was just chilling there by myself in my little pool, my warm pool, and then I'm out here and I have to pay bills now.
Twirling your umbilicus.
I know, like, it's swinging along. And then all of a sudden I'm here.
Yeah.
No. I was traumatized in Peter Maritzburg because, like, I didn't enjoy much my childhood.
Mm.
I really actually feel like I'm now in my childhood because in my childhood I had to do a lot of adulting. So now.
Were you a co-parent?
I was a co-parent, a single parent, you know, to myself sometimes, like, and it was exhausting. So now I'm getting into my teen years freely.
Would you say a childhood like that forces you to almost create your own world in your mind? And that's how you ended up being a creative, perhaps?
I think so. Just out of safety and... just to relieve yourself from the actual world that you're in all the time that you're in.
Mm.
Yeah, definitely imagination is your home, is your home. And then now you make it your living.
But you're also a suicidal teen. That is not a nice...
DJ Fresh in Dabazam, Pam Gwaban.
I'm sorry.
If
it helps, I was also a suicidal teen when I was 15.
Yeah.
And it's not a nice place to be at. But the reason I'm asking you about it is because increasingly a lot of kids growing up in the era of now are going through a lot.
I wasn't suicidal throughout my teen years.
Yeah.
But I remember the first time I really was not down to be here. Like,
sure.
I was really overwhelmed.
Mm.
And I went to school and I did not want to speak to anyone. I thought to myself, I'm just going to be quiet the whole day.
Mm.
And that day, one of my friends said to me, are you not going to speak today? Like, are you not going to make us laugh today?
Mm.
And since then, I've been postponing my suicide because, you know, I've found myself having a responsibility and having a place in this world is to make people laugh.
So that point, though, on that day where you felt that I'm enough with this place, what was going through your head that day?
I was just exhausted with just my life, man. I had to make a plan.
Mm.
And like a lot of the times I had to make, like, I had a great grandmother who worked really hard, but like I had to make a plan for myself. Like, I had to, throughout my high school, I sold sweets at school illegally just so that I can have transport money to go to school.
Oh, wow.
And it was really just tiring.
It was a hassle.
I went to school to sell at school.
Mm.
If I had to drop out, then I'd lose business.
Mm.
So it was just a stressful thing in my mind. But like, I found a way to live through it. And also that humor made me a person who's important amongst my friends.
I was going to say, so your girls at school say, how you're not going to make us laugh today.
Yeah.
What made you feel like I have a place in the society?
Yeah, definitely. I have a place, I have a purpose, and nothing is just for waste. I'm a human being and I matter.
And then you end up at Rhodes.
Yeah.
Doing what at Rhodes?
There's a lot to do at Rhodes Fresh. There's a lot to do, okay?
Apart from the ice buying at the DP at 4 in the morning, why else were you in Grahamstown?
Skipping around those two streets. I was just skipping around those two streets.
I need a beer. I need a pie. Yeah. I need a beer. I need a pie.
I ended up at Rhodes. I was actually just looking for a place very far that I could go to. And when I was in matric at 16, I managed to get application forms and found my way to Rhodes. Mm. And that was a very great moment. I'm still very proud of myself.
So you qualified as what?
I qualified to do a BA. Mm. I was doing television journalism and psychology.
Okay.
And I left that all behind.
But you also act.
I do.
Like, so
I do.
There's various assets to Wazi.
I do, guys. It's just I get unemployed quite often that side. But I'm out here. I can dance right now. There's a lot of space here. Fresh, whatever, guys. But
we don't have a budget, but we can pay you with good coffee, though.
I'm really disappointed that this is just coffee.
What were you thinking or hoping it was? No, you're at the wrong podcast. Mac G will still call me if you're not drinking.
I was just like, I thought this was a celebration of my award. Like, what's going on?
You thought it was coffee.
I thought it was, with bubbles and stuff. Like, what's going on? Like, but man, there's this space here. There's, if you want someone to sing, I'm available. If you want someone to...
Guys, she's been selling sweets since she was in high school, so she's always hustling to make a buck.
I'm always ready and always like...
The struggles of being an actor in a country that actually doesn't fully appreciate actors. Tell us about that.
I get so sad when you're now in the thing, and you realize that this is not a respected thing.
It's not.
Because even...
You guys are paid shit. You guys are paid rubbish.
Or not paid,
if you're not
working with acting now. But like with stand-up as well, it's like I love stand-up so much. Mm-hmm. And, I know there's a lot of people who love stand-up. But then you get into the industry and you just also learn that, South Africa does not revere stand-up that much. So
it's not a culture.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's difficult to make your name here and to sell just stand-up. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. But I think it's something worth doing.
Is that why you're as multifaceted as you are?
I don't know, man. That's God.
Yeah.
That's God. But I am privileged to be myself. Mm. Sometimes I have to remind myself when things are not going as well.
Sure.
I have to remind myself that I'm actually privileged to be me. Mm-hmm. Like I'm really happy to be myself.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of our You Can't Make This Shit Up stories, there's a woman who tattooed her eyeballs.
Oh.
And admits her look is extreme, but she loves it.
Tattooed like what?
She put color into her eyeballs.
Oh, inside.
Eyeballs.
Ooh.
How far have you gone for vanity?
Look at me.
Yeah?
I have gone nowhere. Nowhere. I'm out here with dreadlocks that made themselves. Nowhere.
Or dreadlocks made from just...
It's like, what can we do? Let us eye ourselves, guys. Look at me right now. Look at me right... This is me in my full-blown vanity lipstick. Come on, guys. What have I done?
And I'm sure it was from someone who was walking past...
Yeah, like, oh, my gosh, I have an interview today, fresh. I need some. Something. I haven't done much. What could I do? I don't know, man. Maybe I think my C cups are quite okay.
Okay. Oh, sorry, I didn't notice. I've been looking straight in your eyes.
It is C cups, guys, just in case a lot of people are just asking themselves.
And for those that need to understand, C cups are a cup away from backache all the time.
Oh.
No?
I think I've got a strong back to carry that.
So you could go a cup.
Bring it on. Whoever.
Would you get work done?
I don't know. After maybe if I have a house, after having a house and
then you,
working,
then you'll extend the rest.
Then we can extend the rest of me. Like if I could build a house with, then we can start talking.
Yeah,
building other things. I don't know.
Women in comedy.
I'd strengthen my knees, maybe.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Why?
But that's not for me. That's just for now. Just whoever I'm riding. It's not for me. So no, not my knees. What can I? Yeah, no.
Women in comedy.
Yeah.
Versus men in comedy. Who is allowed to get away with more on stage in terms of what do they talk about and the gags, etc.?
Yo, I'd be lying if I say I know who, because I feel like right now, because I'm only also coming to the space right now.
Yes, I feel like
right now, women and men are really, I know I talk about a lot of dangerous things.
Sure.
And
how risque is your comedy? Where do you go? Where do you take
pretty
it?
Pretty risque. Yeah. As risky as you want to imagine. I know there are some things I've been told not to say in this year home.
No, dude, feel
but
at
like,
home.
No, like, yeah.
You're just, a guest, feel at home.
I don't even want to use the word risky, but like, I just feel like I speak on the times. Like, sure. If the times want us to talk about abortion, I'll speak about abortion. Mm-hmm. If the times want us to speak about being gay, I'll speak about being gay. So I don't think that I'm risky. I'm just reflecting the times that we're in.
But the times we're in are also, I think we're at our most sensitive as a human race.
Yeah.
Like we're at our most.
Oh, yes.
We've never been so sensitive in the history of human beings and the history of comedy.
Because we haven't touched on certain things. It's not that they were not there, but there was no time or reason to be sensitive about them because no one was speaking about them at that time. Men are sensitive about women talking about men and money. So it wasn't a matter then because there wasn't much spoken about it then, but now a lot of women are voicing up and speaking up about like I'm fine with not being married, and so a lot of people are sensitive then only now because it's only spoken about now. But I don't think right now there are things that men can speak about that women can't speak about, but I do think there are things that we may touch on the same topics, men and women, but audiences receive it differently
because they
still are okay about a man speaking about anything, but for a woman, it's like, Wazi, come on, put yourself together.
Have you had a situation like that where you realize that had a man done the gag you just did, it would have been a different response?
I personally have not, but I know with the laughs, some rooms where you're like, I know that maybe if I was a white man, they'd receive me better.
Yes, and that's it'd be also, more raucous.
Yeah, it'd be more kind of thing. But like, not exactly. But I've been at a tavern.
Yeah.
Hey, these gigs. I've been at a tavern.
The girl's going to work.
Where men stood up and said, I'm shit, not about me. I was like, okay, all right. I'm so sorry. Damn these C cups. Because if you know, without them, he wouldn't have noticed.
Exactly. So what gag worked in that environment, though? Because clearly, it was a tough crowd.
I mean, like, other people are laughing. I'm not going to focus on this one guy who's uncomfortable with his sexuality. Like, he needs to go outside and sort himself out. You know, bounce out. There's no bouncers in the tavern, but, like, he needs to go outside and go get another ngutu. But, like, other people are enjoying, so I'm not going to focus on one thing. I know our minds want to focus on the one negative thing, but, like, there are things happening here.
What's happening or happened in your life that has become a source of your comedy?
I think the way that my life is and the way that my life began.
Sure.
I know a lot of people at the awards, I was telling people that, I'm the first woman to win this in the whole decade of these awesome biggest comedy awards. And
just best newcomer, by the way.
Best newcomer.
If you are a newcomer. Right?
And I was, I was making a joke telling people that, I'm the first woman to do this. But like, I come from women who are first at many things. Like my mother was the first woman in my neighborhood to leave her children. So like, I'm the first. My grandmother was the first, is one of the only women who built a house by herself. So I come from women who are first at everything. And people, they're just like, that's too dark. I'm like, but that's my story. My mother left me, she was the first. And I was like, yeah, go mama, go do your thing. Go do your thing,
How old were you when mama left?
I think, if I remember properly, I think a few months old.
Jeez, okay.
I'm not really sure, like memory at that time.
And then your relationship with her?
I know her now. Like we have a soft relationship. It's still a bit distant, but like yeah, I know where she is. I know her.
Is she proud of the woman you've become?
I hope so. Like, I'm proud of...
Is she aware of the woman you're becoming?
I think she is. She does. She follows me on Instagram.
Mm. Oh, all right. Yeah. So you're like Doja Cat. My dad follows me on Instagram.
Yeah, she follows me on Instagram. I had to be like, who is this? Who is this woman? Who yeah. is this? I'm like, yeah, she does.
Who keeps saying, go, my girl?
Whose girl am I?
Like, I know I didn't raise you, but you go, girl.
This is sounding quite coming out there.
And then Gogo, how does Gogo feel about?
I hope she feels good about it. She's dead.
Oh, okay. Oops.
She's died. I thought you were gonna play a boo 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 boo. I'm like, why are you touching your computer?
No, I've got a rest in peace jingle.
You're looking for it? Yeah, la la. My grandmother's gone. I hope she's proud there. Like, she needs to get working now. She's been over 3 years. Like, get to work. Like, ancestors, come on now.
But it doesn't work like that.
No. But three years. Internship is done now. Like, degree is done. Let's get to work, Gogo. Let's get to work.
She needs to settle first.
3 years.
Settle down. You know? Then she can get
like, work. I understand the first year. It was quite tricky getting there, trying to, like, you know, propose, put your proposal on.
And
visitations. They're like, chill.
And find other relatives who are long gone.
You know, they're like, yeah. we all than you, you know, we've been working here. Now my grandmother's out there at boardroom meetings trying to pitch her ideas. But now I think 3 years is 3 years is enough. Let's get to work.
Yo. How do you deal with tragedy and loss? The tragedy of Gogo is gone, the tragedy of mom abandoned me when I was a child and I only know her now.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think it's an ongoing process. Mm. I can't say this is what I did. I drank these amount of bottles and then after that things went well. But I think it's an ongoing process. And with the death, I think it's part of life. That's how I receive death. I just think it's part of life. It's not always a bad thing when someone rests, you know. Mm. It's not always a bad thing when someone rests.
So obviously Gogo raised you and other kids.
Yeah.
Where are the other kids?
Where is my brother?
Yo.
I have...
Where's Jerry Springer when we need him? Jerry Springer also left us.
We were there. We are alive, man. My aunt is still alive, popping, living it up. Very proud of what she's put together for her life. Mm. My sisters, who are my cousins, are also like around the world. My sister's in Poland. My other sister's in KZN at home.
All raised by the same Gogo.
Yeah.
So she did a stellar job then?
She did. The best that she could.
But how has that affected your work ethic in terms of everything that you are doing? Based on seeing this woman who did as much as she could with nothing.
Yeah.
Obviously inspiring you to do as much as you could with the little you had at the time.
Yeah.
And giving your journey and what it's been. You made it to Rhodes.
Yeah.
Despite everything else.
Yeah.
You know, you got your qualification.
Yeah.
Now you're in comedy. You're the best newcomer. Yeah. The first woman to win this.
Yeah. I think looking at how my grandmother worked hard doing like a whole diversity of things.
Sure.
Like diverse things. I think it influenced how you were asking how I do multiple things.
Mm.
In looking at I can do many things or I am many also in one. It really inspired me to just, you know, try everything that you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you've won the award. Does that mean anything in the bigger scheme of things? Does anything change?
It's been 3 weeks now, and...
Bank balance is still the same.
You know. You know, I'm looking at this very spacious place. I'm like, I can put a bed here.
Yeah.
I can put my couches here. Come on, DJ French, let's put something together. Oh, man, I haven't seen my award since I touched it on stage because, you know, I looked at the stage, I looked at the audience, and my Mashonisa was there.
Mm.
And, you know,
ready to pawn it.
Ready to pawn it. I was like, let me take pictures at least. It's been 3 weeks since I won. Life is still quite the same. Like, I'm still hustling. I'm still pushing. I'm still doing my shows. I just had a show at the Bioscope celebrating women in comedy, Women Who Kill.
Mm.
You know, I'm still doing the work that I'm doing. And I think it's going to take its little bit of time to adjust to.
So the other work you're doing, where do we find this work?
Oh, man, if you follow me on Instagram, you can see what I do. Or you can go to Oxford University Press and you can order some of the books that I write for children as well.
Tell us about these books.
It's books for children written in isiZulu, so they are distributed in schools that have isiZulu in the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So mainly KZN or Gauteng. But you can order them even if you're not in, in a school. You can order them. They are part of a curriculum, but you can order them online as well.
Does it feel good knowing that you're part of the curriculum, knowing that you didn't go to school for nothing?
I guess. Oh, man, I should.
Because a lot of kids have this degree hanging on mama's wall, and mama is happy.
Yeah.
But I've moved on.
Yeah.
But you are putting to use, and positively so, what you went to school for.
I think so. I haven't looked at it like that, because I've been looking at my degree with such angry eyes. But I guess, you know, I could look at it like that.
Mm.
I am proud. I am proud of the things that, as small as they are sometimes, I am proud of the things that I've, you know, I've managed to do in a couple of years.
Do you think comedy will become your mainstay anytime soon?
I think so. Mm. I think so. I mean, like, out of all the things that I do or been doing, comedy has come up top in, all the things.
Now, we had Skumba here last week. And
this seat has had some people that I love. I've been watching.
Yeah. So we had Skumba last week and, you know, we're talking about how he got into trouble talking about Fisma's fall and how the girls were half naked. And, you know, so I need to ask you, because he apologized. I mean, he was all over the coals for that comment.
Yeah.
What are things you feel comedians should never apologize for? And mind you, this was something he put on social media versus what happened on stage, for instance.
Yeah.
What shouldn't comedians apologize for?
I think comedians shouldn't apologize for something that they believe. Mm. If you say something and you're able to back it up, it might not be the popular thought.
Yeah.
But if you can back it up, that I don't think you should apologize. Because sometimes you see, you read these apologies from not just comedians, even artists, when they apologize, then you're like, yeah, it's just, this person is apologizing because it's not the thought of the day.
Yeah.
Like, people are not happy about this thought. But like, some people, even in smaller circles, you know, people, when they debate, they have similar thoughts.
Mm.
So I don't think you should apologize. If you do believe in something, just find a way to back it up and explain yourself and why you believe in something. Because I think we do need different types of thoughts instead of one thought running the internet.
Is social media a curse or a blessing?
So far, I would say it's a cool place.
The other day, someone was commenting about your skin, for instance.
Okay.
I mean, but let's talk about that.
My skin?
Yeah.
That's my grandmother. That's my grandma. Okay, like, because, you know, like, a lot of people want me to tell them, what do I use? And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Unless someone is paying me, then I will say, yes, Vaseline. Yes, camphor. Yes, glycerin. But, like, it's my grandmother right now.
But all three worked, though, clearly.
Together.
Yeah? Yes, you look like a shining thing, but they work.
For now, it's just, it's my grandmother and just, you know, just hydrating and bathing and moisturizing.
What's next for Wazi? I'm being told we're running out of time.
Yeah. I am looking forward to writing some dope-ass shows, to be part of a lot of exciting writing rooms. And I want to record my hour. I launched my hour at the Joburg Theatre, and I've been touring it the whole of last year. So yes. I want to record my hour now so that it is in the streaming world.
For those that missed that hour, what have we missed out in that hour?
Reflecting the times, and it's titled Dawn because it is my beginning.
Okay.
So I talk on a lot of things. I talk on also like question, what is woman stuff? Because people think that you're a woman, you're going to talk about woman stuff. Like, what is woman stuff?
What is woman stuff?
I don't know. What is woman stuff? Because it sounds like, I don't know, like some greasy something.
Yes.
What is woman? I don't want to say things. Yeah. Greasy
power. Say it.
Woman stuff sounds like a creasy vagina. What is woman stuff? So I do talk about things like that, and I do talk about relationships, and I do talk about the reality of being an artist and the world that we live in.
Are you in a relationship?
No. Okay, let me just check. Because these things change.
When you last messaged?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. When does this air?
This week, tomorrow.
I think I'll still be in a relationship.
You'll still be in a relationship.
Maybe.
Ladies and gentlemen, Wazi Kunene might be single. So please find her on social media. You've recorded your hour already, right?
No, I haven't recorded.
When can we see the recording?
We want to be there.
We want to support you.
You're going to be there because I will have it online too for you to come to the recording.
Social media, where do we find you?
Everywhere on all social media platforms, I am Wazi M. Kunene.
Wazi?
No underscores, no hashtags, just Wazi M. Kunene.
Wazi M. Kunene, ladies and gentlemen. Remember the name, the Comics Choice, best newcomer, the first ever woman to do it. But then, like she said, she's from a family of women who did a lot of firsts. So please so show her some love. Wazi M. Kunene.
This is...
Wow! What a week.
What a week. This kid...
Yeah!
Really kicks...
Many people have an issue using public transport. The wait is irritating, then you get off and still have to walk home, sometimes carrying bags and packages. Now, here's a young African who said, hang on, we can change this. Please welcome someone who didn't just have a cool idea, but pushed to make it happen. CEO of Green Scooter, Stututu, without the tututu, Fezile Dlamini.
Hi, Fresh.
What's up, my dude?
I'm all good, man. How you doing?
Welcome to Wow What a Week, hashtag What a Kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually crazy being here. Because, like, I think the first thing I was thinking on my way here was, I was thinking about back in the day, tattoo in the morning.
How old were you at the time?
I was probably doing grade 5.
Jeez, all right. So you had no business listening to us?
I actually didn't. It was myself and my grandfather every morning just listening to, I always made sure it was tattoo in the morning. That was it.
With your granddad?
Yeah.
That is so dope.
Yeah, I mean, we actually both enjoyed it.
Yes, and where is he now?
Oh, he's late.
Oh, no, man. Rest in peace, Grandpa.
Yeah, I mean, he was great.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But we're here to talk about your greatness.
Yeah.
Fezile Dlamini 101. Who are you from where?
Okay, Fezile Dlamini, born and bred in Soweto, exported to the burbs, matured in various parts of the country. That's my beer ad. I was a rebel growing up and... I used to break things and just to see how they look.
Yes.
And eventually I fell in love with what I'm doing today. And
yes,
I never thought I was going to do what I'm doing today. So, yeah.
Before you went Green Scooter, what were you doing?
I was studying.
Okay. What were you studying?
So I was studying strategic corporate communications at UJ. Mm. And in my final year, because I had a company already and I was already doing some stuff, I was literally... in Richards Bay at the time, and I just saw Umama getting off a taxi, literally with her ShopRite plastic bags, and I knew that she had a last mile to fulfill.
Oh yes.
So that's where it all started. It was like, it was bothering me because, I mean, we see it every day.
Yes.
You know, you see people walk, first mile is literally out your gate to the first taxi rank or whatever, and then your mid mile is from that taxi to your next stop, and then your final stop is literally at the office or wherever it is that you're going. So that's where the thought was like literally gnawing in my brain as to, look, you can solve this because we need transport options. One, two, it needs to be affordable. Three, it's how then do you find ways to empower the rest of society?
Absolutely. So this has nothing to do with the fact that you applied for an e-hailing opportunity and they rejected you.
No, actually, okay, crazy story.
Yes.
While I was doing my final year, I just kept on applying for jobs at the two companies.
What, the e-hailing companies?
Yeah, the e-hailing companies.
Yeah.
So I was just constantly applying because even the idea for Green Scooter came up in class when we were doing a particular assignment and they were just showing us certain things that are happening around the world.
Mm.
So I've always been fascinated with what happens outside of Africa and how we can find ways to localize concepts,
sure,
but also create authenticity with how they are applied through living lab methodologies and design thinking approaches. So it literally started there. And I mean, over 70, probably, yeah, probably close to 70 applications at those two companies.
70?
Yeah.
And they rejected you?
Yeah, I mean, I applied not only here, but also abroad.
So you're like a typical guy at varsity. Like, this girl would not give you a time of day, so you finish your degree, and you're like, I'll show you.
Funny story. Can I tell you a funny story? So one of those companies eventually called me up, And they're like, yo, we want to have a meeting, we want to chat, we think we can put a deal together. And I was like, oh, okay. I was flying in from Cape Town. I was like, sure, I'll come through to you guys' offices. And when I sat with the one guy, I literally said to him, I was like, please do me a favor before we go further. Please just check how many applications you guys got from me.
Yes.
And this is now a business meeting. But I'm like, look, I just want to see this thing. And then he went and he checked. He's like, oh, we can actually see all your applications. I'm like, it's so crazy how the world works, because now I went from applying to trying to take what I'm doing for Green Scooter into these companies, because yes. I really think that you need a lot of support with great ideas.
Absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, then I'm now on the other side where I'm the person who
you can call shots now.
I can actually.
Yes.
7 years later.
Absolutely. What does it take though? Because I believe it takes a special kind of person to not only have an idea at varsity level, but to stay the course and implement it. And stay the course and make sure that it might be tough right now, but we're going to see this right through to the end.
One thing is that you don't need motivation.
Yeah.
You need discipline.
Yeah.
Like, if you really, really believe in yourself and you believe in what you're trying to do. I mean, I've gotten close to 400 rejections.
Yeah.
And that's for...
And that's just from a girl in third year.
that girl still heard me in grade three.
Okay.
Get it?
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's for over 400 applications. It's realizing within the first 50 that, okay, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Trying to beg people to help you get there. So you have to now find a way to help yourself. I think, as a person, if you really know what you want and you're about it, you'll do whatever it takes and you're willing to fail forward. And that's what I've always done. Like, I think throughout my varsity years, I've always been working.
Yes.
Like, I've never just sat and whatever.
So you've had the discipline of understanding that work ethic needs to be built.
Yeah.
That you need to work towards something.
Yeah. And sorry to interrupt you there.
Yeah.
It's the thing is, if you continuously teach yourself skills, right? Because I used to be a radio DJ as well.
Sure.
But with that, I mean, it was skills that I taught myself because I wanted to. Because I knew that tomorrow, no one's going to take those skills away from me.
Yes.
That's how I built my transcendent advantage as a person.
Like you were saying, that, motivation sadly only gets you out of bed. Discipline will get you out there doing what you need to get done.
Yeah, it'll get you through the day.
Now that we're here, what is Green Scooter?
All right, so Green Scooter started off as an e-hailing company.
Okay.
And then it pivoted into being a technology and an automotive company, then pivoted into becoming a technology company. So we build, design, assemble electric vehicles, which are the three-wheelers that we have.
Okay, so it's a tuk-tuk, but an e-tuk-tuk, almost.
It's a tuk-tuk that went to private school.
Aha. So a tuk-tuk is a rasi.
I rasi. Actually, fair enough, yesterday I was with these guys from a particular embassy from Asia.
Yes.
And they were like, it makes no noise. I was like, yeah. And, we're busy laughing because I think their accent was also just quite funny because we're laughing at my accent and theirs.
Yeah.
And then they said, but in our country, you're going to have to add some noise elements in there because it scares people.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Because, it just sounds like if you just
the
whole way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've come up with an idea. I want to come up with something that will help people with the last mile. You get off a taxi, you must still walk in. You leave work, you must still walk back to the bus stop. How do you get funding? Who do you approach? How did it all happen?
For me, I knocked.
Yeah.
Realized that no one's going to give me funding.
Sure.
Be it a DFI or private or whoever. So then I just took it upon myself to start another company.
Okay.
Use that as my cash cow, which made me enough money to start funding the dream.
So you raised the cash cow. Yeah. So that you can fund it this year.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Literally, if it wasn't for that cash cow, none of it would exist.
So what was the cash cow? What were you doing to raise money? And why did you not just stay there making money then?
Look, it was a media agency.
Okay.
Right? So we were building, designing software and hardware.
Okay.
Right. So we build smart mirrors. Like this over here, you turn into a smart mirror and you can interact with it, blah, blah, blah. So, and we're running marketing campaigns. So I can't really obviously mention the companies and stuff, but we did all of that. And that was good money that helped to literally accelerate the
bigger dream.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because building, being black is like, it's one thing, and I don't like saying that at times because it's like a positioning statement, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, being young as well, it becomes very tough to start a car company.
Okay.
Because you're starting ground up, mm-hmm. and you're building this in an environment where we're just used to being consumers.
Yes.
You know, so if you look at our industrial space is only made for the made men and women,
mm-hmm.
right? But more so made men. So you now have to fight so many battles trying to build this company. You have to build this technology. You need to build your product. You need to build the networks. You need to build the new proactive public policy that is needed,
yeah.
To help accelerate and protect this small niche industry. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, right now in the country, there's only two of us who do this.
Yeah.
It's myself and another guy in Stelis.
Mm.
And, you know, I mean, with both.
Oh, Stelis is Stellenbosch, by the way. You know, ignore the private school slang.
So yeah, I mean, it's really tough when you're going into an industry that has always been for these types of made men,
yes.
and women,
yes.
and it's an industry,
and they've been building for 40 years.
Over 40 years. Yes. I mean, for the first.
In fact, a lot of it is legacy money that they didn't build.
Yeah, another can of worms. But
yeah,
like the truth is, like, you're fighting so much. But for me, I think throughout my entire journey, what I appreciate is never really getting support from my own people,
yeah.
and I always get support from foreigners or you know, my people in Stellies or Pretoria,
yes.
or, you know, it's always kind of weird. It's very weird.
A friend of mine is in construction, and he was lamenting the exact same thing,
yeah.
that every big boy that's black in construction closed the door in his face. And it was the boys from Stellies who said, "Oh no, come in. We'll show you how to do this."
Yes, and it's a crazy thing because, you know, it's weird of how I need to find myself networking with my own people,
yep.
versus how I network with, you yes, know, yes. other races.
Mm.
And other races, they love what we're doing because they believe that anything is possible.
And they want to share and help you grow.
Exactly. I mean,
versus block you off or steal your idea.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing that I feel like we should all be doing at some point, I mean, the responsibility of being successful,
yep.
is sending the elevator back down.
Sure.
So let's all come up, because when you come up, we all come up.
Mm.
But
mm.
it's not like that for many other types,
yes,
of people.
Sir. Yeah. So you decide that, okay, I'm going to set up Green Scooter.
Yeah.
Is it now I need to build a factory? Like, what were the steps?
Yeah. Steps were ideation.
Okay.
So ideation was, here's what I want to do. Here's what I believe in.
Yeah.
And then second step was, now I need money. And
sure.
It wasn't coming from anywhere. So I had to now go abroad to try to partner up with people. And this is in Europe.
Mm.
I had to partner up with people and say, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. How can we start moving?
How do you find these people?
YouTube.
Okay.
Literally, it was YouTube and just a whole lot of Googling.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I became a Google specialist over time, or a prompt engineer.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, being able to utilize social and digital communication tools, yep. really helped. Yeah.
Tell us about your Swedish partners, and why do you think they said, "Listen, we'll do this"?
Because I took my last money that I had,
mm-hmm.
and I literally went abroad. And it's crazy. Like, how business works abroad is that anyone can send an email and yeah. ask to work with someone.
Sure. But if you show up.
If you show up, that's yeah. another story.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, let me tell you first. I think after I came back from Sweden, I was broke. Literally, because I used my last money, and I sure. thought that now, having come with all these tools now, it will enable me mm-hmm. to you know, get all this funding I've been asking for and all these things, but it never happened like
mm-hmm.
that. So I was broke, and then I had to come up with an idea as to, my phone's already cut. Yeah, they cut my phone.
Mm.
I can only receive calls, not make them. I finished my savings, because when I left my last job in because I worked corporate for a year, 9 months, and I was like, sure. I'm done with this. I'm never doing it again.
Yeah, yeah.
I upload my savings, and then I eventually started the company.
Mm.
2 months of grafting, asking my mom for money, asking my friends for money, you know, just a little bit of money just to get by.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, eventually, you know, dilo di chinchi.
Sure.
And, you know, I appreciate that.
So who is your target with a Green Scooter? Are you manufacturing to also run them, or are you selling to people?
So our unit economics is as follows. We build to sell, we build to lease, okay. We provide fleet management services, we do get some advertising revenue. So in terms of who we are targeting,
yeah.
We're talking to FMCGs. Mm-hmm. So currently our largest client is the sixth largest FMCG in the world.
Okay. You can name them, it's fine.
Okay, so we're currently doing, we're the first African-owned company,
yeah.
that is literally supplying PepsiCo with electric vehicles.
Dope.
So we're literally doing first mile deliveries. So first mile, we've actually now started reinventing what that is.
Okay.
Because a lot of people like talking last mile. Mm. No one knows what first mile is.
Yes.
And because we've had the advantage of launching EVs in the township, Soweto, LX, Soshanguve, and all those other places. We've mastered and understood what the logistics and the lay of the land works, understanding the science as well.
Mm-hmm.
So with PepsiCo, we're like doing deliveries from DC to retailer.
Okay.
And then with other businesses where we lease out our vehicles, that's the stuff that's happening with Spar. They're going now from retailer to consumer.
Oh, yeah.
So we're now making sure we're holding this first mile and last mile because we understand it.
Mm.
And now we're also building a new product.
Okay.
Fresh, let me tell you, this is going to be the most advanced electric three-wheeler in the world. The designs are beautiful.
Yeah.
We actually were having some chats yesterday with some engineers. They want to try and bring in our team to come help us with that and even bettering the current.
Yes.
I'm trying to build tomorrow. That's what I'm trying to do.
Now, you're talking about, obviously, you're going to master the first and the last mile.
Yeah.
So how do you do that without also stepping on the toes of the taxi industry, for instance?
So we've more focused on cargo,
okay.
Right? Initially, I did want to participate in the passenger transport, mm. but there was a lot of pushback from people not wanting to educate themselves and understand that I'm not taking away money from you.
Yes.
Right? So over time, I think throughout the years, we eventually built certain models and designed mm-hmm. certain models where we were going to start providing a feeder system into the public transport system.
Okay.
Right? Because again, umama ozoyehla ephefini erink and uhlala edube.
She must still,
you know, she must still walk.
Go.
Because inside the locations or even the suburbs,
mm.
public transport doesn't go there.
Sure.
So we wanted to try and create this unique system, and we did present it at times. Even look as far as Gautrain is concerned, from an express perspective, is that our vehicles are so safe. They're the safest three wheelers in the whole world. They've got 3-point safety belts for drivers and passengers.
Mm-hmm.
They've done crash testing. They've got sails on the side, so we were trying to improve that so that you don't take anything away.
Sure.
And even try give ownership to the guys and saying, here's a business model, run with it.
Mm.
Our business is just building vehicles. We know where the future is going.
Yes, sir.
So, yeah, I mean, at some point, as well, just to mention, we will build bigger vehicles.
It's an electric vehicle in a country that has electricity problems. Why should I invest in one of these?
Well, you should invest in it because you need to understand what your total cost of ownership is when you purchase a vehicle.
Yeah.
So you purchase our vehicles, I mean, we've done multiple P&Ls, you know, for the likes of McDonald's and V&A Waterfront and all these companies. When you purchase our product, understanding the current circumstances, companies are already investing in sustainable energies to help be off the grid, but no one is actually off the grid because there's a constant flow of current.
Yes.
So with what we're uniquely doing is that we're showing them the numbers, getting them to understand that yes, there's a shortage of energy, but if you invest in these particular technologies,
sure,
over a 7-year period, you'll realize your investment because again, there's net ad savings that and cost savings that our customers are making. I think with the one client we started in December on the 12th. I think within the first 3 months, they'd already saved 300,000 rand.
Jeez.
And that's an operational cost.
Yes.
And this is because you're spending money on fuel.
Yeah.
And all the other operations and maintenance costs. And you're now uniquely defining your service to your end customer.
Mm.
You know, we're creating a rapid system when it comes to deliveries.
Mm.
So that's that, that's, you know, we can sit and we can discuss and I can break it all down for you, and then you'll realize that actually going electric does make sense. Yes, now we've got all these, we've had it for 14 years. We've got this teenager called load shedding.
Yeah.
The only way to counter it is just understanding that if you invest in self-sustainable charging infrastructures, which is stuff that we are doing, we consult,
yeah,
then we can move
forward. It all still adds up in terms of what you're going to save anyway.
Exactly. And actually, and the thing is, with every per annum with the one model, you can actually reinvest and buy another one with those savings.
Jeez.
But now, with what we've done with this particular client, we've now we can see that they can buy a new vehicle every 1.5 months.
Yes,
because of those savings.
And add to the fleet.
Boom.
Absolutely love it. Brother man, we are out of time.
Yeah.
So whom, again, are you targeting and who should get in touch with you for a green scooter?
So we're targeting FMCG companies. We're targeting small businesses. We're targeting individuals. Because with the individuals, we're trying to make sure that they get an opportunity to participate in the entire delivery logistics system on their own.
Yeah.
We are targeting retailers and on-demand platforms.
I live on a golf estate. Should I buy one of these?
Yes, actually, we have a client that bought one at in Midrand Waterfall.
Sure.
In Waterfall, they bought one because the thing is, you stay in an estate, they give you an option to lease a golf cart, right? At like 6.5 a month.
Yeah.
But now you can only drive your golf cart in the estate. So if you want to go to Waterfall Corner, you have to drive out with your physical car.
Yes, sir.
And now with our vehicle, what is that? The guy's like, no, I can drive in the estate and outside the estate because it's a licensed vehicle.
How much would it cost me to buy one?
So so we've got a ZV-RS, which is a passenger, one driver, two passengers.
Yeah.
That's 144,270.
Okay.
And then we've got, and that's inclusive of VAT. And we've got the ZV Cargo, which is one driver and a cubic meter of bin space.
Okay.
You can buy that for 155,250.
Where do we find you online?
You find me on www.greenscooterza.com. Social handles is ScooterRSA. Myself, Ufezile Dlamini _.
Listen, I can't afford one yet. Until the podcast makes money, we'll keep teka-teking along. But make some noise for Fezile Dlamini. He is our hashtag, What a Kid, on Wow, What a Week. What a Kid.
This is
Wow!
What a Week.
What a Week. Celebrity Guest.
Celebrity Guest.
Our guest is in the building. He schooled across the tracks and up the road from where we film Wow. He even got a certification from a place around the corner. He showcased his skills on different platforms and is about to do so again in a unique way. Please give a wow welcome to Bonginkosi Bonko Khoza.
Wow.
Brother,
wow.
How you doing, dog?
Thank you, bro. I'm good. How are you?
My man, you know, from watching you on The Wife,
right,
to hearing the English you speak, it's like it's two totally different people.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I heard. I mean, it's always just been me, but until I guess you get known by a bunch of people and they'll say something that you didn't know about yourself, I guess.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But is that because you are that dedicated to every role that you take, that you become the person?
Not really.
Yeah.
Fresh, I think it's a knack.
Yeah.
It's a knack. I knew the words to the mask.
Yeah.
When I was like very young, I knew the whole thing.
The whole thing.
The whole thing.
Jeez.
I used to, The Lion King, bro. We used to watch it, write it down. So I don't know. It's a knack for accent and talking.
Is it a knack or are you just generally geeky?
Yeah, about certain things, right? So I guess, yeah, I'm a nerd about, and like I always go around saying this, I used to rap, you know, yeah. So I used to be, you know, I used to enjoy words, speaking them, how they sound, used to shed out with poetry, you know. Back in the day, we shed out the girls with the poetry there.
Please give us an example of how you'd shed out a girl with your poetry back then.
Ish. Baby girl, ubuhle bakho. Ubuhle bakho ngathi indoni yamanzi. Yeah, you understand?
No, that's an Amapiano song.
Got me, bro.
So back then when you're rapping, what were you rapping? Like what are the big tunes then?
Back in the day, dude, so we used to listen to Mobb Deep, Shook Ones, that kind of That was like the...
So you're that generation.
Yeah, Mobb Deep. Yo.
The peak if you did.
Mobb Deep?
Yeah.
We used to listen to a lot of Mobb Deep. We used to listen to a lot of Eminem, a lot of D12, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, you know, the Slim Shady era.
Sure.
Like from Infinite.
So what was your rap, like your go-to rap tune? Because we all have one.
Infinite by Eminem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hear you go.
Infinite. Infinite. Come on, Fresh. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, man.
Let's talk about your childhood. Where were you born and raised?
I'm born and raised in the south of Johannesburg. Well, I was born in Shawela.
Sure.
Which is Soweto.
Yes.
And then I think when we were about like, when I was about 4 or 5, we moved to the south of Johannesburg.
Moving on up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To a little suburb called Robertsham.
Sure.
I don't think it's moving up. I think it was just, yeah, it's just not in Soweto.
Okay, so it was moving out versus
moving out. Up. Yeah, it was more like moving out because we were still kind of, Robertsham is still like a pretty chilled,
sure,
middle class, you know, type of society. Very diverse. Coloreds, Indians, white people were all kind of mashed up together, which is, I think, I got how I am what I am because I grew up in a quite a diverse upbringing. So, yeah, I went to school in the south, Robertsham Primary.
Mm-hmm.
Went to, for 2 years, I went to Welsh School President.
And then, then what happened after the 2 years?
I went to NSA.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Then I went to the School of Arts. So, yeah, I played rugby for a good chunk of my childhood.
No, I can see you quite staunchish.
Yeah, muscle memory. Yeah,
I can
see,
eh?
Yeah, yeah, come, Fresh, trying to be lucky, come on.
Lock, yeah, fully, eh? Like, where's the ball, eh?
Yeah, where's the ball, come, boy? Locked off the ball. Have a bit of rugby, yeah? Yeah, man, so I'm just, yeah, man, boy from the south. There's a lot like me. The people look at me different, like, there's a lot of people like me.
Mm.
Yeah.
So what was it about the arts that said, that's the journey I want to take? Because obviously you're growing up in an era where the country's changing.
Right.
Black parents are starting to understand that the arts are an option for our kids.
Yeah.
Whereas for some of us, the arts were like, you must be mad.
Gotcha.
If you think you're going to go into the arts. So you're being raised in a country that's evolving.
Right.
What was it about the arts at that stage for you?
Man, I think, like now, if I change my perspective to what is happening in the arts.
Yes.
I think South Africa was at a time of more access, we were starting to become kind of Eurocentric,
yes,
Americanized in the type of content. Like I grew up watching, like,
Accents were changing,
right? So you would watch like Martin, you know, Martin was like this crazy show, or In Living Color, where these guys speak funny and they dress funny. So I think we were influenced a lot by that. But for me, personally speaking, as Bonko, I was just like drawn to it, you know. I think the same way an accountant realizes they like numbers, or same way a kid, you know, I don't know, dissects a mouse and realizes it wants to be a doctor, whatever, whatever thing that you get drawn to, I was just drawn to the arts that way. But you're right. It's a good way to think about it. Like what was happening, interesting way to think about what was happening in the country for us to get drawn to it so freely.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Where you don't have to hide what you're doing.
It's crazy.
Because the parents understand.
Yeah.
That's where the world is going.
It's TV. I think it had to be the inception of TV, DSTV. Sibs call it, like a friend of mine calls us like the McDonald's generation.
Yes.
Right? And we used to say that term a lot, like in press, like we were in New York at Tribeca and used to use that term a lot. I kind of get it now. We're like the DSTV generation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, I knew that I was going to be in the arts.
Yeah.
And in entertainment because of a school production.
Okay.
It was the Nativity.
Yeah.
I was in grade 2.
Yeah.
And I played the innkeeper.
Okay.
And I remember I had 2 lines.
Yeah.
And these 2 lines for me were like, if I mess this up, it's over.
Yeah.
My lines, Mary and Joseph walk up to the inn because Mary's about to pop.
Yeah.
You know, J-Dog is about
to... He's on the way.
He's on the way. And I'm like, we have no room in the inn. You may use the stable. And I was like, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
For you, tell us about Captain Cook.
Captain Hook.
Captain Hook.
Man. Similar thing.
Yeah.
School play. I think we were in grade 3 or 4. And we had, they had different auditions for different things.
Yeah.
Bro, to this day, I still think I was supposed to be Peter Pan.
Oh, yes.
You know, I was supposed to be Peter Pan. But this is what, like, the 90s, you know.
So they were not ready.
They weren't ready.
For Denzel.
You know what I'm saying? For someone's going to bring that gravitas.
Exactly.
But it was like, yeah, I think the choices, that was the first time for me, I think, running into politics, you know.
The politics of race.
Yeah, experiencing the politics. Because in my head, I was like, ah, but...
I'm better than this guy. Yes.
Yeah, everyone knows that. It's clear as day.
Yeah.
But then they gave me Captain Hook, which was like the villain.
Yeah.
And man, I played the ish out of that.
Sure.
Yeah. And part of me was like, I'm going to show them why I should have been Peter Pan, but not by doing Peter Pan.
Yes.
But by like playing the crap out of this role. And it was just liberating. I don't think that was, that for me wasn't a defining moment. I just had fun then.
Sure.
Defining moment would have been 2016, 17, where I was like, grown ass man working an office job. Yeah. Like I was this junior promo director at this agency.
Okay.
And we're working and I'm earning.
Is this after NSA?
This is after NSA. Okay. This is after everything, right?
Sure. So,
I mean, I've had a bunch of stories where I would say acting... veered at the head. It's like, hey, brah, we can be friends.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have my own plans.
Sure.
You know? But this...
So what were the plans at that stage?
At that stage, it was going to be like a... So I went to art school, so the plan was to be like a graphic designer.
Oh, yes. I did copywriting. I mean, I should be a journalist or a copywriter.
Right.
Here I am.
But now, okay, we're going to get deep into this.
Yeah.
Do you think that stuff informed what you're doing now? As in, it's not like completely irrelevant to who Fresh is right now.
I'll tell you the honest truth. I had an option to major in radio.
Right.
But I knew that I kicked so much ass at radio from the age of 19 that if I'm going to varsity, they can't teach me anything.
Got you.
So I'm going to do something else.
Okay.
Because I know I kick ass at radio.
Sure.
So, but because I have a knack for words and writing and I knew I was witty, I was like, the next best thing is to either be a journalist or a copywriter.
Sure.
So I did both.
Got you.
But the one feeds the other.
Mm.
Yes.
Now, how much of that decision, you knew that, okay, choosing these things is actually going to help my radio?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Because, I mean, when you're prepping, you're playing with words.
Got you.
You have to be economical with words sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you have to be witty. You have to... So it's all wordplay.
Yeah, man.
You know, whether you're a poet, a rapper, a radio person, a lawyer, it's all wordplay.
It's all wordplay.
That's probably why I'm a failed lawyer. I did 2 years of law.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's still going to add up.
Who's interviewing who here?
Right, so you got Bonko on the WOW show, right? Got this cool guy Fresh in the building.
Anyway, so you're working at an agency.
So I'm working at an agency.
Yeah.
It was like, at that point, okay, I was like, I'm creative.
Yes.
But you can't make money off acting.
Sure.
I used to book like a commercial a year. You walk away with like a 20 grand. Yeah. You spend it with your friends, buy your mom something, and then you're back to the same place, right?
So back to unemployed.
Back to unemployed. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'm working at this agency. I can still run during lunch, do a casting, come back.
Sure.
But things changed when it was like, I booked this job to be on this series. They're paying me 6 months of my salary, which is my perceived value to society.
Yes.
For 4 weeks of work. And I'm like, nah, nigga.
Yeah.
I'd be stupid if I stayed.
Yeah.
So that was the moment that was like, okay, cool. This is where I gotta go.
So where were you going at that stage?
I was going to take the check, shoot 4 weeks.
Okay. So what were you shooting?
We're shooting a series called The Professionals.
Okay.
Professionals with Brendan Fraser and what's his name? Superman. He was Superman on Smallville.
Okay. Yes.
Cool guy. I just forgot his name. Sorry, bro. And I was like, cool, dude. I'll shoot 4 weeks of this. Be as if I worked 6 months here at this agency.
Sure. So you have 5 months to play with after that.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was like, and something dawned on me that creativity is actually the in-between.
Yes.
It's not when you're actually doing it. I was like, fuck, this is actually...
Doing it is the culmination.
Bruh, you know what I mean?
It's
yeah, it's the result.
I've been macking. Then I've got a minute.
So, you know, we know it's in the journey.
Yes.
It's in the strategy.
Yes.
That's like, actually, this is perfect because I've got 4 or 5 months to perfect my next thing that I'm doing. So I'll work another 4 months to actually work for 2 more weeks in another job.
Absolutely.
And I started seeing my career that way. And yeah,
things so you get the professionals.
Yeah.
And how did you see it change the rest of your life?
I was calmer.
Yeah.
I was calmer. I used to be very anxious. I used to be very... It afforded me peace.
Yes.
Yeah. And that peace I still carry.
Mm.
It's like an assurance that like me and this craft or me and this thing, we're good. It 6 months of space is not 6 months of hunger.
True.
It's like 6 months of like chilling out, working out, planning so I can do it for a smaller stint. I understand life that way instead of like, I don't connotate my efforts with my output.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, anymore. I used to be like, you're not working hard enough. That's why you don't have enough money. It's like, no, not really. Sometimes it's prepare 80% so you can do it for like an hour. I mean, same here, right? I'm sure you spend the whole morning preparing to do this for like 10, 20 That's minutes. That's
it. Mac. 1 minute.
Maybe two, though.
If you've macked well enough, a minute is more than... One
First said that, I say that.
It's an argument we have with a lot of clients.
Right.
Where they'll say to you, why must I pay X amount for an hour?
Yeah.
And I always argue, you're not paying an hour. You're not paying me for an hour. You're paying me for 30 years of work.
Yeah.
You're paying me for 30 years of goodwill.
Yeah.
You're paying me for 30 years of building this brand.
Absolutely.
You're not paying for that hour.
No.
And the sooner people start seeing that that's what the odds are.
Yeah.
You're not paying for those minutes.
Yeah.
You're paying for the prep. You're paying for the anxiety I went through unemployed for a year. You're going to pay for that.
It's exactly that. I mean, I get shocked at people who call me. I recently got a call.
Yeah.
On the day, bro.
Yeah.
Someone's like, hey, Bonko, are you free? I'm like, depends.
Yeah.
They're like, well, can you come and shoot today?
You're lying.
Can you come and shoot today? I'm like, and I felt it, right? That desperation. Yeah. And then it's like.
Yeah, there's a fine line.
And you got to choose quick, right? Or not choose quick, but you got to be mindful.
Yes.
I was like,
And also you're asking yourself, who dropped them that they need me so quickly?
Then I ask, right? I'm like, what's happening? What's going on? This is not okay.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we don't. The guy we're using doesn't work. Like,
so you only realize it now.
So you're realizing that now.
Who cast this person?
Who, like, what happened to that process?
Exactly, because that's a process.
And now I must jump in, give you like whatever I'm feeling right now. It's like it doesn't work.
And also, you don't feel like you're sloppy seconds.
Bro.
You know what I mean? You don't feel like we're desperate. We've been dropped. Therefore, he's our next option.
Yeah, he's our next option, and not even next. Hey, I mean like the. Scrambling.
Yes. Who's the guy we can take advantage of?
Oh, right now. Who's not doing anything right now?
Exactly.
So I don't know. That hurts the final product for everybody.
So did you take the gig?
Still save me unemployed.
Would you say a lot of us slept on the talent that you are until the wife?
Wow, that's a good question. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of talent gets slept on.
Mm.
A lot. I'm one of many people.
Because for me, watching The Wife exposed me to a ton of people I had no idea.
Absolutely.
Like zero idea.
Right.
Not that I watch a lot of TV or a lot of series.
Yeah.
But having said that though, there's a ton of talent that we never get to see.
That you miss.
Yeah.
And it's because of the formula, I think, how it's been set out.
Yeah.
Whatever this formula that studios and channels think is working.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily works.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm very fortunate to have been prepared for that size of a role.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's a hit or miss, right? You do find new faces, but turns out the dude's not really prepared to lead a whole show like that, which is cool.
Sure.
But yeah, I think for me it was just a mixture of preparation and that luck.
But also, you are in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
How does preparation for a role also incorporate your partners, given how sometimes your roles are intimate,
yeah,
they are racy, there's nudity, there's this, there's that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to think your partner is part of the process.
Absolutely.
As much as people might not think of it that way, you need to manage everything, including your relationship.
So with me, I'm very fortunate that my wife is an actress.
Yeah.
So beyond, like, when I say process, I mean, like, she's helping me learn the lines.
Sure.
She's shooting.
She knows.
She's dug everything.
Yes.
She's shooting the process with me, the self-tape. Even the self-tape for their wife is her voice in the back.
Yeah.
You know, she was the first Shomu. When we got the lines,
yes,
like, okay, play Shomu, I'm going to read this.
Mm-hmm.
So we discovered it together. We created it together.
Mm. So at least you get to practice also.
Yeah, no, understand. The big dog bites. You understand? So yeah, man, it's. I'm fortunate. I won't lie. I've heard homies. I'm saying this now on the whole freaking podcast. I offer like some of my time to homies who I have like a little bit of studio set up, so you can come record at my house.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's hard, bro. Mm. Some guys are alone here in Joburg from KZN. You must do a self-tape.
And you're sleeping at a friend's place.
Yeah, so it's like,
zero income. Yeah.
I speak from a place of privilege, bro. I've got a wife who's an actress.
Yeah.
We work through the stuff together. Most times on Thursdays, we would sit and critique, like, did I do it the way we had planned it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did
you let the team down?
Yeah. Like, sure. No matter what they say.
Yeah, baby, did I do this right?
You know?
Yeah. But being married to an actress means more often than not, you're both unemployed together.
Absolutely.
But there's still bills to pay.
Yeah.
And there's still, you know, life must still happen.
Yeah.
How do you guys navigate that? One, given the poor pay that you guys get.
Yeah.
Given that if you're not shooting three or four, you might shoot three or four, you get three or four gigs at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it's quiet for 6 months.
Yeah.
But those three, 4 gigs must carry you for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
How do you guys navigate that as a couple?
Financial literacy.
Yeah.
We try to kind of teach ourselves financial discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And keeping things to a minimum.
Who's the ill-disciplined one between the two of you when it comes to money?
I am. I buy anything. I buy a Nintendo Switch. I buy my fucking Apple TV. I'll buy the latest sneaker. I'll buy it, dog. So
yeah.
I'm often being the one who's being pulled back like, hey, yes.
Sure.
So we try, bro. We try also live comfortably.
Sure.
And I think you got to be a little bit in the, not in the in the red.
Yeah.
But like, close enough to the red that you stay constantly.
Yeah, you need to be on the edge to realize that I don't want to fall over.
Yeah,
I don't want to fall over the edge. Yeah.
But yeah, we try.
We want to play the wow game.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, since we're here, wow, what a woman. What is it about her?
Oh, man, my woman is... I think the day I met her, she was wearing yellow.
Yeah.
Because she's yellow.
I was going to say, she's not a yellow bone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's yellow.
So she was like a sunflower.
Brothers, and she was yellow and black, and I used to like her Chiefs at the time.
You're
so.
As in you used to, as in you're not a Chiefs fan anymore.
Not after this weekend. I think we need a new guy, new coach,
ish.
New guys.
We need a lot of new.
Yeah, we need. I think it changed the logo. Yeah, my woman was just the first day I met her. The moment I saw her, I was like, I think, yeah, dude, I almost choked.
What did you say to her?
I said, yo, something look quiet.
And then one day you can have mine.
Big dog bites. You need a new one. Bites. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, I'm biting cars.
Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to understand. Man.
Are you for real?
Yeah.
And it worked.
And it worked. But she was like, I'm not minding the time.
One day we will both have mine.
But jazzy.
Yeah.
Bamba night mad. Album tenner. I got it.
Wow, what a dad moment. Since you're playing a fatherly figure.
Yeah.
Have you ever had moments where you felt like, I'm giving dad advice here?
Whew. Dad advice?
Yeah.
From my own dad?
No, as in, maybe advice you got from your dad that you're passing on maybe to a colleague that you're working with. Yeah.
My dad once said, So my dad does these talks as well. He's like, he's into recovery and he helps people, Sankha and all these places. Right?
Yes.
I watched him say this talk once and he said, a life well survived is endured.
Yeah.
But a life well lived is enjoyed.
Yeah.
It's my pops. Told me that. That's a bar since I was like 10 years old.
Wow, what a dad. What is it about him that makes him super dad?
I think my dad's the most patient person I've ever met, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's calm, he's patient. Mm-hmm. I can see it like, but he never overflows.
So always graceful under pressure.
Always graceful under pressure, man, the sweetheart. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, what a city. You schooled around Jersey.
Yeah.
You know, high school and at NSA.
Yes, sir.
What is it about the city, my dudes?
It's buzzing.
Yeah.
It's buzzing. I love the city. It's full of inspiration. It's full of motivation. It's colorful.
Yeah.
It's edgy. It's not safe. It's nice. I like it. It's exciting.
It's not safe.
Nah.
Like, you're on the edge all the time.
I think you've got a thing with risk. If you're from Joburg, you must have a risk appetite. You know that thing. And even now, I've got to check my phone.
Like, right? I don't know if I'm going to come back with my phone today, but hey, let's go.
Bro, you could be laughing at Fresh right now. You got your phone. Suck. Ah, Fresh. What happened, dog?
Wow, what a moment in Africa. Moment. You know, where you felt proud that this is our continent and we're making shit happen, especially in film.
Okay, especially in film?
Let's talk continental pride. I mean, you even did, The Woman King?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That was special?
Yeah.
I was about to mention Tuso Mbedu's
time.
That's a special time for Africa.
Yeah.
Trevor Noah. Yeah. You know, the first time I saw him in John Stewart's chair, bro.
Oh, yes.
It was a mind F.
It was.
I was like, what is going on?
Yeah.
And he's, I was like, yeah, that moment. What else? In film?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Woman King,
the thing is, it's not, yeah.
Did you audition? Did you do a self-tape? Did they call you? Or did they love your work? How did that process work?
I did a self-tape.
Yeah.
A bit of everything you just said, actually.
Yeah.
We all knew about Woman King, right?
Yeah.
So, as actors, if you plugged in with like a proper agent,
yes,
they'll know like a couple of months before.
Sure.
So we all like were waiting for it. And then I started shooting The Wife and they was like, you can't.
Mama. Yeah, yeah.
And somehow God did.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah.
She asked for a tape. I taped it. They went quiet for like 4 weeks. And I was like, how?
They always do that, eh?
I'm like, oh, guys. And now they're like, oh, no, you're fine. You're fine. Didn't they send you a ticket yet? I was like, oh.
So it was a ticket to where?
Cape Town.
To Cape Town.
Yeah, we're shooting in Cape Town.
Everything's happening in Cape Town lately in your industry.
Bro, when you say what a city, I thought you were going to mention Cape Town.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Cape Town's nuts.
I know people that are relocating to Cape Town because of that. I know agents who are relocating to Cape Town because of that.
Absolutely.
What's happening with you guys since you are a unit?
I mean, we've always thought about it. My past four jobs have been in Cape Town. So, I mean, if that's not an invitation, I don't know what is.
Really. Yeah, if it's not God saying, I keep talking to you.
Humba. You're
stubborn, man.
Yeah, nah. I've got an agent in Cape Town.
Yeah.
APM.
Sure.
I'm signed to APM, so most of the work is coming in from that side. Yeah.
Wow, what an actor. Which actor's talent do you geek out over?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got a few.
Keep it short.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mahershala Ali.
Oh, yes.
Has an essence about him.
Yes.
So calming, so strong.
Yeah.
So dangerous as well.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Terrence Howard, but like a much more dark-skinned Terrence Howard, if you think of it. But Terrence Howard had that womanizer thing.
Yeah.
He overplayed that. Mm-hmm. I think Mahershala is great. Daniel Kaluuya.
Yeah. He's my favorite actor right now.
He's my favorite actor right now, too, bro.
Yep.
He's able to play like a vulnerability and a strength. At the same time, at the same time, you feel sorry for him, you wish him well, you're like, no, he's got this, maybe
And he's doing it in a foreign accent.
Dude, what are you talking about?
If that is not talent, come on now.
No.
And he doesn't break character.
No.
You know, some people, especially American actors playing Africans.
Yeah.
They don't stay true to the accent, for instance.
No.
But Kaluuya never breaks character, never breaks accent. He's in character. Like, it's a mindfuck.
These British, I don't know what, I think the British tongue,
yeah,
or somewhere in the voice and the accent,
yeah,
is closer to the American than we are, but we're very close to the British,
sure,
if you think,
sure,
about it. But I mean, the British guys, Tom Holland, Damson Idris, Daniel, yeah, Kaluuya, like, yeah, Benedict Cumberbatch, I mean,
it's almost like the Brits are taking America back.
Yeah, exactly. They want the ish back, bro. Start slowly, start with the accent.
Oh,
no, man. I mean, yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Those guys, Daniel Mahershala, I mean, all the guys I just mentioned, amazing actors, bro.
We're going to get straight into our movie of the week. And Hypnotic is a new sci-fi action thriller starring Ben Affleck as a detective trying to find his missing daughter. Things get more complicated as he uncovers a secret government program that changes his perception of the world. Directed by Robert Rodriguez and co-starring Alice Braga, Hypnotic is rated H for, huh? Yes, one of those movies that might leave you pondering reality afterwards. Hypnotic opens this week only at Sturkinico. Let's check out the trailer.
Are you familiar with the concept of hypnotics?
Hypnotics.
Hypnotics have the ability to influence the brain.
It's very hot today.
To make you see a version of the world that doesn't exist.
I have to know everything.
What you're seeing isn't real!
Hypnotic, rated R, only in theaters May 12th.
Okay.
Yo.
Directed by?
Yo. Rodriguez. It's Robert Rodriguez.
Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you say streaming channels,
yeah,
your Netflix, your Amazon, your Disney Pluses, have forced Hollywood to have a standard that can't drop now? Because now there's budgets and almost anyone can come in, but it has to come in at a certain level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, there's blockbuster type Hollywood.
Yes.
I think Hollywood's also been the term to like call high budget movies.
Yes, yes, yes.
They'll,
yes,
call,
yes,
it Hollywood, right? Sure. Then they'll call the rest of us art house, yes, or B grade or whatever. So I don't know. When Underground 6? No, Extraction. Do you remember Extraction on Netflix?
Yeah, yeah.
I think when that came out, it leveled the playing fields of, sure, like what you can see in the movies and what you can see at home.
You can watch it straight at home now.
You can watch it at home.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think if anything, streaming services are bringing the Hollywood experiences to your home.
Yes.
Yeah.
But are you not finding that there possibly could be what we've needed on the continent in terms of now we have budgets we can play with?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now we have a global audience without having to travel to America.
Absolutely. That's a great thing.
You know, now our series can trend globally,
yeah,
on Netflix,
yeah,
without,
yeah,
you having to leave the continent.
Exactly, without going anywhere. But now that challenges the filmmakers,
yeah,
and the audience.
Yes.
Because you can make a mean pasta, but if the people at home don't eat it,
yeah,
it's gone to waste.
And who knows, you make a mean pasta then.
And who knows, you make it just you, right? you need at least two or three witnesses that can say, yeah, fresh, nice iPod.
Without a cosign, it's not a mean pasta.
So that's, I think as much as the budgets are going up and the standard, yeah, is going up, it has to be accompanied by the audience's imagination. And yeah, dude, like the audience have to get it.
Yeah.
I think South Africa is stuck in a loop. It's either we are telling them what we like, or they're assuming that we like whatever, sure, they're showing us.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a niche of us who are like, some people have Apple, some people are on this and that. Some,
yes, 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 yes.
So not everyone is being forced to consume the same thing.
Absolutely.
But it's like, dude,
yeah,
you know, there's a whole bunch of reality shows coming out of
there's options. I mean for instance, for me growing up, it's either you go to the cinema,
yeah,
you go to the park,
mm-hmm,
where half of the swings are broken,
yeah,
or you go to watch soccer.
Got you.
That was the only option.
Yeah.
And I'm loving the fact that I'm seeing more and more people going back to the cinema.
Yeah.
I mean, COVID decimated literally the arts, including people going to the movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
But going to the movies is slowly coming back. Because I believe some movies have to be seen on the big screen first.
Yeah.
Yes, you can own it. Yes, you can stream it.
But you've got to have that experience.
But you still have to feel like I heard a piece of glass fall here.
Yeah.
I know I heard it was here.
Yes.
Do you go to the cinema? You
say? Yeah, I do. I do. But now you're right, right? We're having this conversation where it's like, now I'm also scaling these things first by the trailers. Like, is this a cinema-worthy movie?
Yes.
Or can I just watch this at home?
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, but I do. I do. What is the last thing I watched at the cinema? Woman King. Yeah.
That's for obvious reasons. You went to work.
I was like,
let me go to work.
Everyone said I'm on this thing. Let me go. Yeah. But these guys talking about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. I missed Maverick. Top Gun Maverick. Apparently that's like, you got to just watch that in the cinema.
I heard about that.
Yeah.
And I missed it myself. Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird, man. But I think the cinema also has to elevate. You feel me?
There's an offer that's more.
Has to offer us more.
What,
I think.
What, a massage? What do you want?
Foot massage. Yeah, like, I'm in a jacuzzi. I think movies should start at IMAX.
Oh, yes.
Don't tell me about a screen.
Sure.
And sound.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I mean,
Give me more. Sure.
Because now can you see that it's almost equal. It's like, okay, it's bigger screen.
Sure.
Seats. Sometimes even that experience is not nice when you're with a bunch of people. I'd rather watch it at home. Like for us now, you see, it's tough now.
Yeah.
To go. So, I'd rather watch it at home.
What are you working on that hopefully we can watch on the big screen one day? Or at home even. Is there anything you're working on currently?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on one of my biggest projects ever. Number one again.
Yeah.
It's just tough, prime.
So where can we watch this?
It's going to come out on the am I allowed to say these things? Sorry, I'm saving through my mind.
No, say it. It's fine.
What is this? YouTube?
It's everywhere.
Everywhere?
Yeah.
Okay.
YouTube and podcast networks.
Okay. I've got a Netflix show coming out soon.
Netflix show.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the film.
Okay.
And
who else is in it?
Ah, you see now. Now you're putting other people's names. Bonko.
Okay.
Bonko and Netflix.
Are you steering? Are you co-steering?
Nah, I'm the boss.
Are you the bus driver?
The boss.
So you're the... You're the taxi boss.
Yeah. No. I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Boss number one.
Sure.
In fact, it's going to be like Netflix presents.
Okay.
Bonko.
Oh, wow.
In this movie.
Oh, wow.
You feel me?
Jeez, bro.
Bro, it could have been Bonko is on Netflix.
Yeah.
This movie.
Sure.
It's there.
Yeah.
And then I'm busy shooting one right now.
The chances of you and wifey being in the same movie?
We were on How to Ruin Christmas.
Yeah.
I hope so. Things.
Do you enjoy working with her? Or do you just...
I'd love it, dude. Yeah. I mean, we have so much chemistry.
Sure.
Just preparing.
No, I saw you guys walked in together.
Yeah.
Jeez, they're so in love.
Yeah, I'd love to. And it's, I think it will challenge us if we have to be in love.
Sure.
Yeah.
But isn't there danger in blurring the line between the actor, the character, and it's a person I'm in love with?
Like, with colleagues or with my wife?
No, with your wife.
No, it's fun, dude. I mean, dude, we're married, so like...
You won't even need an intimacy coach.
No, it's like, let us show you.
In fact, please leave the room. Just shoot and leave the camera.
Yeah, leave the room.
We'll do the rest.
Leave it on the... Leave the 40 over there, right? Leave the 50 there. We'll have a roaming camera. Tom can use a roaming camera.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's nice to... I mean, our creative juices. Mm. Yeah, we're the same.
Sure.
We're the same. Please cast us.
Does she go everywhere with you? Or is it simply because you guys are in between roles right now?
Yeah, in between roles, got more time. Like I always say, if I'm not working, I'm spending time with my wife and my fam.
It's amazing, bro.
Yeah, dude. So
it's a beautiful thing.
When I'm not in a character, I really want to spend most of my time with 100%. My wife.
Yeah.
And we do. We're inseparable.
Brother man, we are out of time. I'm going to have to separate from you. But thank you so much for... your gift.
Thank you, sir.
Because for a lot of people, the movies, watching some of our favorite stars on screen, that's an escape that you need.
Yeah, man.
But also it's you needing to see people like you being portrayed either positively or in big roles.
Right.
Like, for instance, with your new Netflix movie that's about to come out.
Yeah,
so man. We need people like you to remind kids out there that, listen, it's happening.
Yeah.
Especially for Africa. The world is watching Africa right now.
Absolutely.
And it's for us to drop the ball.
Yeah.
It's for us to drop the ball. It's on us. So only we can ruin it for ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's all happening. It's all happening all at the same time. And I think this is about trust, faith.
Yeah.
Trust in the process.
Sure.
It's bigger than us.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, just be prepared.
Great time to be African.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, sir. Bonko, thank you so much, brother, man.
Thank you, Fresh.
Nothing but love and respect for what you do, for your craft, for everything. And for your accent from the south.
Shot.
I wasn't expecting an accent from the south, bro.
It's in the south. Right. Thanks, Shot. Bro, appreciate it. All the best with this.
Thanks for hanging out with Wow, What a Weekend. We're part of the Africa Podcast Network. You can email waw@africapodcastnetwork.com. Shout out to Pezulu Works for the amazing editing and cinematography. Audio engineer Otis the Floor Fraser. Our guest Bonko Khoza, Fezile Dlamini, and Wazi M. Kunene. Show producer Keletso Modisa-Gain. Creative director Kuvesh Mohan. We will see you again next week. Have a great week in spite of yourselves.
This is...
Wow!
What a week.